First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 5, from the verse number 11 to the verse number 16.
But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed.
In the first two verses of Genesis chapter 23, we have the short account of Sarah's death. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjat Arba, the same is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. I believe it was a very painful experience for Abraham to be bereaved of his lifetime companion. In Genesis 38, we have the account from the life of Judah, the grandson of Abraham. In the verse number 12, in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted. It's a different account than Abraham's. It's a different experience. At this time, Judah is a man of the flesh. Judah is here presented as a lustful man. His lust is so strong that it makes him a fool. In the verse number 24, we see Judah as a vengeful man, very judgmental of the others, very loose in his own considerations. In the verse number 26, Judah has to face his cruelty, his foolishness, and his miscalculation in all of his dealing, because he had only his own desires in his mind and could not care less for God. Here, in the first epistle to Timothy, in chapter 5, we see the instruction, the advice, the commandments to a godly, concerned minister, caretaker of the flock of the Lord. In his loving kindness and his compassion, he might be tempted to accommodate with everything possible every widow or widower, sympathizing with their bereavement, feeling very sad for them. And in the verse number 11, Paul is strongly suggesting to Timothy, do not yield to that kind of a temptation. Yes, the beginning of widowhood is a very difficult experience. Yes, the marriage is a God's institution. Losing a spouse is very sad. But even the spouse is not all we had. First and foremost, we have Christ the Savior and God the Father, our Creator, as meaningful and as important and as fulfilling as marriage is. It is still only a percentage of our life and living. We may not forget what the Lord has done for us. We must not yield to satanic tempting us, temptations. We may not rebel against the Lord. We must refuse to follow satanic enticements. In the second book of Samuel, chapter 12, the prophet is talking to David about David's secret sin that was very public, and the strong sexual desires, the lusting that David experienced this prophet, the man of God, is presenting or describing as a traveler. The desires and the lusts come and go. They don't stay forever. Instead of yielding to sin, we pray to the Lord for guidance, protection, correction, and the Lord can arm us with the whole armor of God, the armor of faith and godliness, to resist the devil that he must flee from us. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 11, Paul is telling to Timothy not to allow the people, the widows, the widowers, the bereaved, the sad, to be surrounded with all the accommodations and to be idle in self-pity, but rather to face the facts and prayerfully pick up the pieces, continue the way as the Lord is guiding. In our desire to have a spouse, to have the union in the flesh, to have the mutual understanding and encouragement of one another, to just enjoy the complete life, as some people like to call it, we may not rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that succeeded in making a marriage in their rebellion experienced disaster. In the verse number 14, Paul is saying, I will that the younger women marry, girls, virgins, or young widows. Yes, Paul says, his heart is going out to them. He is wishing for them to have a blessed marriage. A good godly marriage is a blessing, a gift from the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, from the verse number 32, Paul is revealing to the believers that there is a greater blessing than marriage, even greater blessing than a wonderful marriage. There is the blessing that is an everlasting blessing of a wonderful relationship between a saved soul and the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Union in the flesh is a marvelous part of God's creation. However, the union in the Spirit of Christ, that unity, is an everlasting value of beauty of God's holiness. If I see that the Lord did not give me some of the blessings that I expected and desired, I should understand, I should realize that the Lord has a purpose in that. I should trust that the Lord has intended all that is good for me. I may not cast away the confidence in His goodness and might, in His wisdom and loving kindness. Remember how the Lord loved Job and blessed Job in such a marvelous and yet such a painful, grievous way. Remember how the Lord schooled Joseph to become the prime minister of the land of Egypt, the great empire, and the deliverer of his whole family, the very brothers that betrayed him and murdered him in their minds. Remember how great and greatly valued is the offering of the poor widow dropping 2 coins in the treasury of the house of the Lord. Remember Lazarus the beggar and the angels that carried him into the bosom of Abraham. Remember the way of the Lord Jesus Christ from Gethsemane to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Golgotha, from Golgotha to the heavenly heights. And the Lord revealed to us in His words in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 12. In the verse 50, the Lord said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? If in our bereavement we have the strong sense of personal loss and we rebel against the Lord, we are going to lose much more. We are losing greater values in our craving the lesser values. If we submit to the Lord's will, if we are humble, prayerful, patient, the Lord is leading us through the time of testing to the experience of victory in the Lord. In our first faith, in the time of our conversion, we laid everything at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He is our deliverer, our Savior. And we are going to give everything just to receive that salvation, that peace of mind, the joy of heart, of the knowledge, that awareness. I live forever with Him who has redeemed me. If in the difficult times of sadness I cast away that first faith, I am experiencing self-condemnation. The words of truth and salvation, the gospel concentrated, that Paul and Silas told to the jailer in the Acts 16, verse 30 and 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." These words remain as long as we are pilgrims. In every situation, in every struggle, in every strife, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if we experience that first shock of bereavement, we may not drop everything and quit ministering and serving the Lord. Rather, increase it. Be not idle and aimless. Instead of wandering from house to house and trying to forget our difficulties in cheap, worthless manner of living, get down on our knees and pray to the Lord. Get the comfort that is greater and better than anybody else's words. We must be careful not to become judgmental and envious of the others, not to think that the Lord has given more to everybody else than to me. We may not think that just because we had some sadness, or we might even think we had a tragedy, which could have been a salvation from the Lord, a deliverance that we were not aware of. We may not think and believe that because we are sad, we have the right to make everybody else sad. As the verse 5 is telling us, trust in God, continue in supplications and prayers night and day. In the verse 14, we see that there is not necessarily anything sinful, anything bad, unmannerly for a young person to desire marriage. A godly marriage is a wonderful situation, and desiring that blessing is not sinful. Having children, having a household that is blessed by the Lord, it's a good experience. It's a ministry. However, all our desires, all our petitions should be laid at the feet of the Lord Jesus and let Him give us what He wants. That's not only the best, but the only good thing for us. This life is a battle, a battlefield, and at times we will experience fierce fighting. If we are firm in our decision to serve the Lord, we will be victorious. When we seek personal pleasure, we experience temptation and fall. When we seek to serve the Lord, to do His will, we experience pleasure and growth. Grudging against the Lord, we become rebellious. Rebelling against the Lord, we give occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. If we turn after Satan, we share the hell with him. If we follow the suffering Savior, we experience the resurrection and the glory of heaven with him. In the verse number 16, we see that the rest of us that are not at this moment in the same struggle should not be ignoring the struggling brother or sister. We may not neglect the needy people, widowers, widows, virgins, young men, elderly, anyone that is in need of daily food, in need of lodging, in need of raiment, in need of loving kindness, social company, fellowship of fellow believers. And especially if we see a brother or sister that lost in death his loved one, we must become the loved ones of that brother or sister. That's the ministry of the Lord. We are members of the same body. We are sheep of the same flock. We are the children of the same Father in heaven. All the members of the same household are the first one to help in every of these situations, whether there be one or two or 10 or 20. We need one another. We should be given to one another. That's our ministry as a family in the Lord. If we consider the local fellowship, our local church, as a retirement fund that everybody can draw from and nobody is going to contribute to, we are going to bankruptcy spiritually and materially. But if the local fellowship is like a beehive where everyone is helping and contributing within the frame of ability as the Lord has given to each one, the life can be delightful and very, very sweet, full of honey. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, the Apostle Paul is telling to the disciples, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And we are all obliged before the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, not to neglect those that gave themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we also may receive all that we need in the time of our needs, that the Lord Jesus Himself, in the Spirit of His grace, may be always our all in all.